Welcome back to another episode of the CTB Show. Thomas Bargerding and Christian Catanacci with you as always. Cat, just 1 month, 4 weeks left of the NFL regular season. It is crazy how quickly it flies by. But now we're down to the nitty gritty, the games that truly matter. You can feel the energy ramping up. How are you, my good friend?
It's, you know, Pac, it's December 9th, and we say it every single year. I cannot believe how fast the season flies by. And looking back at it, it's true, right? It's like you blink and boom, it's over. Especially when your team sucks, like my Cowboys. But tonight,
I was gonna say, you haven't even watched them this week yet.
We've got the Simpsons game, and this is the most excited I've ever been for a Cowboy game. I mean, I'm not gonna say in history, but this is a monumental moment. And as a Simpsons fan, I am ecstatic that they were not able to flex us out because they had already done the animations. They had already done everything. So they're stuck with Cooper Rush and Joe Burrow, QB1 and QB2 in the entire NFL going head to head. I can't wait for it. I can't wait for it. And you know what? We got to cherish every single moment left because December 9th, it's almost 2025. And I mean, Puck, we're going to be talking draft soon if we, you know, take too big of a nap. We'll wake up and it'll be draft season.
Yeah, it's crazy how quickly it's going. Simpsons game tonight should be a lot of fun. What'd you make of the animations of the different characters that were released and everything?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure John Morant plays basketball. I don't know why they had him as CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, but other than that, it looked pretty good. And, you know, I mean, look, it's you're not going to get an identical.
I think they have to look like they're Simpsons. Yeah, like not just Simpsons about guys. Like being.
I thought it was pretty cool.
They got to look like they're. In
I want to see how
universe.
It. I want to see honestly how it like looks because they did the Toy Story thing. Like, but they
I didn't watch
the
Toy Story game.
But the Toy Story game, like they didn't have actual characters. Like they were just like toys. You know what I mean?
So
like,
what's happening in this? Is it you're not? Because correct me if I'm wrong. The Toy Story game was you're watching them on the field and they were like Toy Story characters playing football. But when the Nickelodeon game happened, it was just regular football. Like, you're watching the real broadcast.
Yeah, but like
then they had, like, certain elements that were just Nickelodeon themed. There were slime cannons when there was a goal or a touchdown. Like, Patrick Starr was, like, explaining the rules.
Yeah.
I imagine, is it not just going to be more like that? Or are we just going to be watching, like, Simpsons characters play?
I thought I'm pretty sure I'm under at least the interpretation. Mind you, when you guys hear this.
Yeah, I was going to say, we shouldn't spend too much time talking about this because the question's going to be answered.
So exactly.
I'm sure it'll be a fun game.
It'll be a fun game. It'll be a fun game.
Let's get into some of the stuff that is more important here. Our week 14 takeaways. It was a pretty big week. Wrapped up with Sunday Night Football last night. The Chiefs found they deserve to win. It was just funny how they won with like doinking an easy field goal. You just feel like
Mahomes was so good yesterday night though.
He was. It was, like, it was actually so a pretty good game. A lot of people were complaining about the first half. It was a good game. Chargers, given the situation on offense, like Quentin Johnson was wide receiver one. I thought Herbert played really well. He hung in there. It was a good game. Chiefs found a new entertaining way to win. But what do you got for your biggest week 14 takeaway?
I'll start with, honestly, my favorite game of the slate. And I look at that Rams and Bills game, and I thought it was probably, in my opinion, maybe the best game of the season. I mean, you look at the Rams. You look at the Ravens, Bengals game a couple weeks back. That was a good game, but this game had everything. You had the MVP, maybe in Josh Allen, just absolutely carrying his team on the back, just not giving up. And on the other hand, that's who I want to talk about, is these Los Angeles Rams. And if this Rams team gets into the playoffs, man, they're going to do damage. And I say if because they still have to move some boulders, right? They got to play the Niners still, and they have some room to catch up. I know they're only a game back of Seattle, but man, if this Rams team is able to just squeak in, like let's say they ultimately win the division and end up as the four seed, and you know, round one, you're looking at maybe one of the Packers and the Vikings, or it's like, okay, toss-up game. But what if they were to get into the wild card? And I know this is a very what if, because you look at Washington's schedule, and Washington has a fairly easy schedule. But let's say the Rams somehow get in and Seattle gets in, and the Rams aren't able to win the division, but they get to 10 wins and they get that 7 seed. That is like a nightmare matchup. If a team like, let's say it's Detroit or Philadelphia as ends up as that two seed, like you give me Matthew Stafford, McVay, you give me that offense. I get the defense isn't the greatest, and that's obviously going to be their Achilles heel. It doesn't take a genius to figure that one out. Josh Allen, 3 touchdowns in the air and 3 touchdowns on the ground. Obviously, there's got to be some sort of concern. But look, this I'm not saying the Rams are this flawless team, but for the sake of a one-game playoff, I would be petrified of this Rams team. And they do it every single year. Like, every single year, the Rams do this in December. I remember last year, I was schedule watching, right? As a Cowboy fan last year, you were schedule watching. You're like, okay, who do I want to play in round one? And the Rams were so hot last year. And I was saying, you know what? I don't want to play the Rams. I just don't want to play them. And you look at them last year, early on in the year, they were just whatever. Towards the end, back half, they were hot. I remember I was legit excited to play the Packers as opposed to the Rams. Obviously, the Packers ended up handing it to us. But the Rams are not a team to be taken lightly. If they are somehow just able to squeak into this postseason, watch out, because they can make some real fireworks happen.
I think with you look back at the entire season, and I found at times the Rams could be more of a frustrating team. They got blown out in Arizona early. They lost a game to the Bears, a game that I was so confident in them because you got the head coaching matchup, you got the quarterback advantage. But what impresses me about them and what ultimately makes me feel like they are probably a scary team to play in the playoffs is how they play against the better teams. They took the Lions. They were toe-to-toe with them in week one on Sunday Night Football. They played the Packers tough. They beat the 49ers. They beat the Vikings. They've beaten the Bills now. And it just feels like they're a team that whoever their opponent is, they kind of match them. And that can be frustrating when you have a game that you should win because, you know, I feel like they kind of let the Raiders hang around at one point this season. And, you know, they lost at home to Miami on primetime. So they can be frustrating at sometimes. But also when Matthew Stafford goes toe-to-toe with like an elite-level quarterback, he just shows why he has been such a good player in this league for so, so long. And when you got guys like Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp at your disposal, they're very, very legit. And you talk about wildcard teams. Most of the time, those wildcard teams are kind of the young and up-and-coming teams that are maybe not as experienced. You got McVay and Stafford's experience in a one-win, you know, win-or-go-home scenario. That's just not a situation that you want to be rewarded for where, you know, you're the two seed and you've had such a good season and now you got Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay standing in your way. So, yeah, it's exciting. We talked about the NFC West race last week. It's going down to the wire and San Francisco feels like they won't go away. They play the Rams on Thursday Night Football this week. That should be a very, very important matchup. And then the Seahawks have won like 4 in a row. I don't think they've lost since their bye week. So it's gonna come down to the wire. The NFC wildcard race is definitely more exciting than the AFC wildcard race at this point.
Yeah, and it's funny too because this is a Rams team that if you fast forward a couple episodes ago when we were talking about our quarterly, I think it was episode maybe in our week 4 or week 5 episode, we were talking as if this Rams team was going to trade Kupp. Remember, I named Kieran Williams as an underrated guy to be traded at the deadline because the Rams were reportedly selling. And all of a sudden, once again, they're making noise in November, in late November, early December, and they're becoming a team that's going to be scary in January. It's crazy. They do it every single year, and you got to give credit to Matthew Stafford, man. Like, what an absolute baller. Like, for real, right? This is a guy that's been in this league for so long. And nowadays, all you hear is the talk about the Patrick Mahomeses, the Josh Allens, the Joe Burrow, the Lamar Jacksons. And Matthew Stafford, every single time he's on primetime, proves to you exactly why he still belongs in that exact same conversation.
Yeah, he's been incredible down the stretch. And, like, everyone, I feel like the first conversation from yesterday's game was Josh Allen and the numbers that he put up, but they didn't even win the game.
I know.
And, I mean, the Rams, yeah, they let them come back a little bit, but when but they need time, to score, like, they score. When they need a fourth down, they converted. When they need a third down, they converted.
I know.
Stafford just continued to watch Josh Allen on the sideline do some great things and said, I'm just going to raise you one more because they were so, so good. And, yeah, like you said, one of the games of the year so far. I want to shed light on another quarterback who goes under the radar. You mentioned we talk about the Mahomeses, the Allens, the Burrows. This guy is playing out of his mind this year, and he is working his way into a monster, monster contract this offseason. Sam Darnold of the Minnesota Vikings, like, what are we going to do with this guy? Are the Vikings going to extend him? Is he going to sign a long-term, you know, big payday with another team? Because he's just been so good. He's got 28 touchdowns this season. He's third in the league in passer rating. You can point to, yeah, he's got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Quarterbacks before weren't putting up these kinds of numbers with these guys. Five touchdowns and zero interceptions against an Atlanta Falcons team that should be good. When all the talk all week was about Kirk Cousins coming home, Sam Darnold proved to everyone in that Vikings organization that you guys made the right decision moving off of Kirk. Everyone seemed to laugh when they brought Sam Darnold in as this kind of bridge guy. I've always said it. He did not get a fair shake in New York. He had nothing around him that was remotely close to a competent supporting cast. It's great to see this guy thriving now in a good offense and playing some very good football. And are the Vikings just the quietest, 11-win team? Are they 11-2?
Yeah, we talked about them last week on the show.
It's crazy, and they start off 5-0, and I was like, oh, yeah, they're really good. And then as soon as they lost that first game, it was okay. Let's just temper expectations. Maybe they're not as good.
They lost back-to-back games.
Yeah, they lost back-to-back, and Darnold had a couple weeks where maybe he wasn't the best, but we've seen it now over the course of 14 weeks. The numbers speak for themselves. This guy has been so, so good. Sam Darnold is going to get paid this offseason, whether that's by the Vikings, whether that's by a team that needs a quarterback. And it's not just a bridge quarterback anymore. He has talked himself into, or he's played himself into, that four-year big extension. We saw Geno Smith happen, or we saw Geno Smith have that a couple years ago. It's just really, really impressive what this guy's doing.
I love that Geno Smith comparison because I think you're going to see something similar. Now, I will give some pushback. I don't think it's going to happen in Minnesota just because...
I don't think so either.
They happen to draft J.J. McCarthy pretty high. And you know what? Just given the circumstances, I don't see it happening. Maybe it does. I would be pretty shocked. But you look at Sam Darnold.
He's playing like Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, he is. Like, look at over the last four games, he's thrown 11 passing touchdowns, zero interceptions, right? So he's not just only throwing a ton of touchdown passes. He's like playing nearly perfect football. And you look at Kirk Cousins on the opposite point, he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass. He's thrown eight picks in that same span, right? And honestly, I think it's one of the best stories in football. We've talked about this pretty much all season. We've been on it pretty much all season as a former third overall pick to the Jets. I mean, seeing ghosts and all this stuff. Like, there was so much crap that Sam Darnold had to deal with. And to see him finally get his chance, a real chance with a real football team, it is very, very exciting to see. And I think the Vikings, you said it, Pac, are they the quietest 11-2 team in football? They are one of the best teams in football. And for whatever reason, you listen to anybody talk, deservingly so, the Lions, the Eagles, the Packers. We have to start talking about the Vikings. They are right up there. This is a good team. I don't want to hear the talk about the AFC anymore. This NFC playoff picture is shaping up to be fantastic. It's fantastic.
Yeah, all the games should be pretty good. There's so many good teams as well. And Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings are right in the thick of that conversation. One thing I'll mention about the whole next year with Sam Darnold conversation, J.J. McCarthy is coming off a year where, yeah, you know, he hasn't played, but I think the original goal was for him not to play to begin with, but it was for him to practice every week. It was for him to sit on the sideline. It was for him to be with the team, and I'm sure he's still involved in all these meetings and everything, but the fact that he's undergone this knee procedure and he's missed the entirety of this season, I don't know. If I were the Vikings, I would think long and hard about bringing Sam Darnold back. I get the aversion to a four-year deal, but in my eyes, it just feels like this is a quarterback that when you have this much success, we're not talking about, oh, you know, we're going to squeak into the playoffs at 9-8 and it's a nice feel-good story, but everyone really knows that we're going to get blown out in the first round. We're talking about a team that is dominating right now and a quarterback that is having a career year and has numbers up there with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, and his numbers better than Patrick Mahomes this season when you look at from a passing standpoint. So I don't know. I get that he's going to want long-term, and his play may have priced himself out of Minnesota. But, you know, the Vikings, you drafted J.J. McCarthy, 10th overall. He's only 21 years old. He can very much still sit for one season. I would think long and hard, and I would do everything that I can if I'm Minnesota to keep this guy as our starting quarterback next year, because it's working. Jordan Addison, 3 touchdowns. Justin Jefferson's 2 touchdowns. Like, when you can get elite production out of elite players, that's the quarterback that this team needs.
You know what, Pac? On the same topic of offensive rookies, and I know one we're talking about that hasn't played, but you look at Brock Bowers down in Vegas. I don't care. I'm going to go out and say it. Brock Bowers is the real offensive rookie of the year. I don't want to hear Bo Nix. I don't want to hear Jaden Daniels. Brock Bowers, what he's doing with this garbage Raiders team. Let's be honest. They're garbage. Like, they're brutal. People want to talk about the Giants. We'll save this for another topic, but the Raiders are terrible. He just breaks the all-time rookie receptions, tight end receptions, sorry, with 4 games to spare at 87. And you look at these statistics, which, let's be honest, that's what this award is about. Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, great seasons. I'm not taking away anything from them. But neither of them are even in the top 10s in any big passing category. Passing yards, passing touchdowns, passer rating, none of them. Brock Bowers is 4th in the entire NFL in receiving yards. That includes guys like CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. Like, Brock Bowers is right there. And he has the most receptions in the entire league. So you tell me what the argument is. Bo Nix for Jaden Daniels. Okay, they play quarterback. So what? How is that Brock Bowers' fault? How does positional value have any sort of implications in an award like this? That's offensive rookie of the year. Who is the best offensive rookie? It is Brock Bowers. The fact that he's doing it with Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, and Desmond Ridder. Like, are you kidding me? He's still putting up these numbers. That literally is blasphemous. The only argument against Brock Bowers is the fact that he plays tight end and not quarterback. So I think it's ridiculous. He's the best offensive rookie this year, and he should be the runaway favorite to win that award.
I think when you look back at the history of the offensive rookie of the year and in recent years when it's been awarded, in I think it was 2020 or 2021, Justin Jefferson, like, historical wide receiver season as a rookie. Unfortunately, he didn't win. But Justin Herbert had one of the best quarterback seasons as a rookie ever. So, you know, fair play. The quarterback, the position, there's more weight on that. When both positions have an elite season, you give it to the quarterback. Last season, Puka Nacua breaks every single record there is for a rookie wide receiver. Plus, he was a fifth-round pick. Great story. Didn't win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Because C.J. Stroud, once again, one of the best seasons by a rookie as a quarterback ever. This year, yeah, Bo Nix has been good, and the Broncos are probably going to make the playoffs. And I think he has a really bright future. Yeah, Jaden Daniels has been really good, and it's crazy that the Commanders are already winning this many games when he's just gotten there. But neither of these guys are having, like, historical number rookie seasons. They're good, but when you're a tight end and you lead the league in receptions, when you're a tight end and you lead the league in receiving, or not lead the league in receiving, when you're top five, that's pretty impressive. So I'm kind of siding with you. I understand why the odds makers and everyone are still, you know, leaning towards guys like Nix, guys like Jaden Daniels. It is nice to see, though, a young tight end that's drafted in the first round immediately be this good, because I feel like for years, I mean, Kyle Pitts has been good, not great. He was a 4th overall pick. TJ Hockenson, 8th overall, again, really good pro, but by no means generational. Like, Brock Bowers had the hype, and he's delivering from the get-go. So if there's one bright spot in Vegas this year, and I think there only is one, it's that Brock Bowers. Well, I guess you're going to get the first overall pick too, but is that Brock Bowers is looking really, really good so far.
Like, he's at plus 1,000.
Yeah. Like, to me, that's ridiculous.
Come on. Like, are you kidding me? Like you said it perfectly. CJ Stroud, historic year. Justin Herbert, historic year. I get it. You could have given it to Justin Jefferson and Puka Nacua, but come on. Like, Jaden Daniels, he's having a good year. I get it. He started the year amazing. He's kind of fizzled out. I'm not saying he's not going to finish the year strong, but, like, to have Brock Bowers this much of an underdog, we're doing something wrong here. We just are. The fact that he's doing that with 3 different quarterbacks, and these quarterbacks are junk too. Like, they're junk. Like, I'm sorry. No disrespect
who's
to Gardner Minshew.
Who's the third guy? Is it Ridder?
Desmond Ridder.
Desmond Ridder, yeah.
Next week. Come on. Yeah. Right? It's honestly, it's starting to piss me off a little bit. The fact that I can go on online and see all this talk about, oh, Brock Bowers, yeah, he's having a good year, but he's a tight end. Okay, so what? How does that have to how does that factor in when you're talking offensive rookie of the year?
It's not a value award, too.
It isn't.
I understand. People complain about the MVP being a quarterback award. And while it's frustrating that it's just handed out to the best quarterback every year, I understand because there's a certain magnitude that that position carries. But in this situation, I just feel like with how good Brock Bowers has been, and I'm not going to say with how average Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix have been because they've been very, very good, but I just think their rookie seasons don't necessarily stack up with the greatest of all time. So love the Brock Bowers love. I'd root for him too. I think plus 1,000 is kind of crazy. I actually might hop on that as a future as soon as we're done recording over here. But next takeaway, I want to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers because we did a nice in-depth AFC North preview before the season got started. And I was banging this table saying there's no way this team does not win double-digit games. They have Mike Tomlin. They're always good. They always make the playoffs. Did I foresee some of these other elite AFC teams taking a step back and them being this good? No. But man, all the Pittsburgh Steelers ever needed was Russell Wilson. Just that level of quarterback play. And I think he has been so, so good this year. And I think he's flying so far under the radar. This guy's 36 years old. And I know things didn't go his way in Denver. But I think when we view the grand scheme of Russell Wilson's career, this is an elite level quarterback. And he is playing very, like, just about as well as he was in his late days in Seattle right now. And when you give a defense like this and a head coach like Mike Tomlin and a gritty run-first team like Pittsburgh, this level of quarterback play, that is a recipe for a dangerous, dangerous team in the AFC. I don't know. I'm kind of all in on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I feel like everyone's kind of viewed them as this team that's going to rack up a lot of wins in the regular season and not go on to do anything in the playoffs. And I understand. And I mean, I was guilty of it too when they benched Justin Fields and they went for Russell Wilson just because we had that sour taste in our mouth of Russell Wilson in Denver. Everybody kind of laughed at the decision, but I don't know. I'm absolutely loving what I'm seeing from Russell Wilson from this offense. This guy is playing so, so well. The passer rating, the touchdowns, the lack of turnovers, the deep ball. He went into a game without George Pickens, a team that was already starved for offensive weapons, and he still scored 27 points against Cleveland Browns. So I just don't know how you can continue to criticize this team. Everyone would say, oh, they can't score a lot of points. Last 2 weeks, 44 against the Bengals. They won a shootout, which is very uncharacteristic of this era of Pittsburgh Steelers. Now they've gone. They've beaten the Browns handily without their best weapon. I'm just loving what I'm seeing from Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, as someone that's got a future on Russell Wilson to win MVP at plus 50,000,
you have
about $100 on Russell Wilson. So if he wins, I get $50,000.
Biggest waste of money.
Absolutely. You know what? You know what? Pocket doesn't matter because
when did you place that?
Probably maybe a month ago. But you know what?
What a dumb.
You know what? You want to know why? And I'll say this, and I'll speak directly to the Steelers fans here. I got to get in my zone. The reason why I did that is because, you know, I like to make bold claims on the show, right? I like to, you know, I'm a very emotional, in-the-moment type of guy. But when it comes to the Steelers, I can't stand you guys.
I don't know why.
I can't stand you. And knowing that and knowing how my luck has favored this season, it sort of was like emotional hedge. You know what? I'm like, you know what? If the Steelers go on to do great things, it'll probably be because Russell Wilson just turns it on and is MVP caliber quarterback. Well, guess what? I don't think it's going to happen. But if it does, I'll be $50,000 richer. So at the same time, it's a win-win for me, right? I'll get clowned for a couple, you know, couple racks, specifically 50,000 racks. But it's not going to happen. Eagles this week, Ravens next week, Chiefs the week after, Bengals the week after that. I don't want to go too far, but I could see them going 0-4 in this stretch here.
I don't think it's out of the question, but I also think that they've done enough good things at this time that they've earned the respect of everybody. They're far better than every expectation was laid upon them. And even when people continue to move the goalposts on the Steelers, to me, they still continue to come up big, to look good, to look like a balanced team. And I just think that this was written in the Stars the day that they signed Russell Wilson in free agency, because all this team needed, this is a team that was 9-8 and competitive and in the playoffs with guys like Kenny Pickett under center at quarterback. Just bottom of the barrel quarterback play. All they needed was just be good. Just don't turn the ball over. Just get the ball to our best players and manage the game. And Russell Wilson's doing all that and more. He's got the elite numbers. He's back with the big plays. And I don't know. I know you're $100 in the hole. And you mentioned being an emotional better, and that's why you're 9-12 so far on the points bet picks of the week, which
I'm
we'll get
eight
to
and eight second. And 11.
No, you're 9-12 now. You are. You're 8-11 last week.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. 9-11 now. I guess.
But I got one game pending tonight.
Yeah, you got
tonight.
A game pending tonight. Yes.
And it is emotional hedge
I
as well.
I think you're 9-12 then.
It doesn't matter. We'll get that out later on because I want to talk about my last takeaway this week. The Eagles don't trust their quarterback. They just don't. And A.J. Brown comes out and says it post-game. What does your team need to work on? Passing. No kidding, he needs to work on passing. Jalen Hurts is playing at a level that is going to ultimately be the Achilles heel of this team. And I said it a couple weeks ago about their head coach in Nick Sirianni, but I'm starting to think it's also their quarterback. He should belongs right in that conversation. He is just... You watch this offense, and I get it, it's a run-first offense. Saquon Barkley is playing like an MVP candidate, but your quarterback still needs to play at a high level. At the end of the day, it's a quarterback-first league. And the fact that they don't even let him, or they don't even trust him for that matter, Jalen Hurts ranks 21st in the NFL in pass attempts. 21st with 325. That's 25 pass attempts a game. That is peanuts. Absolutely nothing. Tua is tied with him, and he's got famous four games. The only guys behind him are guys that are either out for the season or missed a bunch of games. And we're talking Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, Drake May, Jameis Winston, Will Levis, Derek Carr, Trevor Lawrence. This team does not trust their quarterback. And a team that's 11-2 and it's sitting at as a two seed in the NFC to not trust your quarterback and for him to be the clear Achilles heel of this offense right now is concerning, especially with the playoffs in 4 weeks. I don't know about you, Pac, but...
Yeah, we see this very differently. My answer to that is I don't care. I don't know, like...
You trust him up against a quarterback duel, listen, like Matthew Stafford against...
No, but I trust the Philadelphia Eagles roster. I trust this defense. I trust Saquon Barkley. I trust this offensive line. And I do trust Jalen Hurts to do enough. And is he playing at the elite level that he was 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl? No. But this team has done... They've won 9 games in a row. And I just think at this point... We're crying, we're nitpicking, we're finding a reason to explain to ourselves why this team isn't going to win the Super Bowl. And I get it, when you're this good and when you have a window this small and your quarterback's making, you know, $50+ million a year, the Super Bowl is the expectation every single year. So I am going to hold them to that standard. But I just think that they have the roster to get it done. And if they go into Detroit or if they host Detroit, I genuinely think that would be a field goal game. And I think A.J. Brown complaining when you've won 9 games in a row, and I think Devontae Smith sulking on the sideline, I understand they're competitive and they want the ball and they're great, great players. And maybe you can build an offense that gets more out of them. But I just think to go after a team that's won 9 games in a row when, you know, they're not blowing a team like the Panthers out, which I get, it's a long season. You're not going to always win every game by 30 points. I just think it's a little rash, and we need to pump the brakes on a guy who, you know, he's completing 68% of his passes. He's got 16 touchdowns. He's not turning the ball over. When they were 2-2,
he's not throwing the ball over because he's not throwing the ball.
It's working. When they were 2-2 at the beginning of the season, I think there was a stat about how he leads the league in turnovers in his last 16 games. Like going back to the back half of last season and the front quarter of this season, he had been throwing picks. He's not doing that. Does it concern me a little bit that, you know, last 3 games, 108 passing yards, 118 passing yards, 179 passing yards. I think he's got 6 games this year where he's not even thrown 200 passing yards. When you have A.J. Brown, when you have Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, like that's not a great number, but they've found this identity of, we're going to lock you down on defense, and we're going to run you and beat you into the ground with not only Saquon Barkley, with Jalen Hurts, because I feel like a lot of times we just focus on the passing and we don't kind of appreciate that what he does on the ground is a valuable asset. The tush push has become like a stain on this organization that it's bad. Like, it's worth 6 points. Every time they do it, it's a touchdown. It's great. I think it works. Are they the perfect team? No. Is Jalen Hurts playing like an even top 10 quarterback this year? Probably not. But, man, I just think they're complete. I think they play hard. There are a couple things that concern me here and there, but I don't think it's necessarily worthy enough to smash the alarm.
I'm smashing the alarm hard. I'm not all out on this Eagles team because I think Saquon's having that good of a season. But if your identity is shutting a team down on defense and controlling the clock, but you got an NFC conference with teams like the Lions, the Rams, the Packers, teams that can put up points. I'll throw the Bucks in there. I will throw the Bucks in there because I think they're capable of putting up 30, 35 points. If you're not going to be able to have that pass game going, good luck. And especially as the 2 seed, to host one of these teams at home in round one, where you're supposed to be a 5-6 point favorite, I'm not liking my chances too much.
I think what has impressed me so much about the Eagles this year is that when they play those teams with high-powered offenses, they've managed to not get into shootouts. Like, they shut down the Ravens. They shut down the Rams. There's going to come a time where they're going to need to score 30 points, where he's going to need to throw 300 yards. And I don't know if I'm quite ready to write him off. I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle that challenge. And who knows? Maybe Nick Sirianni shoots his team in the foot and they don't even get that far. But I don't know. I just feel like, for an 11-2, like, they've won 9 games in a row. I'm more, when I saw that A.J. Brown press conference this morning, the body language, the answers, how brief he was, I was just like, are we really doing this? Like, that's, if Malik Nabers came out and did that, which he has been doing, all the power to you. For A.J. Brown to do that, I just thought, like, you know what? Yeah, you only had 40 receiving yards. Win's a win. Was it a pretty win? No. On to the next week. Let's go. I'm pretty sure they have who did they play this week?
The Eagles play the Steelers this
week. Yeah, that's who it was, the Steelers. Yeah. You got a big match against the Steelers this week. On to the next week, prepare for them. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite ready to freak out about the Eagles. Last takeaway of the week, and this is something that I have freaked out on before. The Miami Dolphins, they're 6-7. Tua Tagovailoa has been playing out of his mind. Out of his mind, elite level quarterback play.
One interception since
he's come back? Since he's come back from injury. 15 touchdowns, one interception. He's completing 76% of his passes. He's second in the NFL in passing yards per game. He is, at this point, the entire offense. They cannot run the ball. And honestly, at this point, he is the entire team. They're sixth in the league in points per game since he's come back. They were dead last in the NFL in the time that he missed when he was injured. And it is a crime that they did not have a competent backup quarterback. Because if they had just beaten the Colts, which came down to the final drive with Tyler Huntley and Tim Boyle, if they had just beaten the Titans, which was a home game, a primetime game with Tyler Huntley, and they lost in embarrassing fashion, this team would be poised to make the playoffs. And I don't know, maybe it's my bias showing. I think this is one of the 7 best teams in the AFC. I do. The defense has not looked good this year, yes, but the level that Tua is playing at, the offense is in every game. They score on nearly every single drive. And I just think that I can't see that they deserve to be in the playoffs because, you know, they had a test in Green Bay. They lost. You lost to the Cardinals. You lost to the Bills on last second field goals. Like, they've had their chances with Tua. But I just think if he had been healthy, which clearly is a big deal, but if they had just had a backup quarterback that was somewhat remotely like Aiden O'Connell level, they would be probably in a playoff spot right now. And I think that's why it's frustrating.
What about Trey Lance?
You should have
traded us.
I want Daniel running Jones back for him. Next year. That's who I want. I want Daniel Jones to be our backup quarterback.
Remember I said that on the show like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Before he signed the contract with the Giants and I said, you know what?
You were talking about him getting a backup job after taking the Giants to the playoffs?
Yeah, I was right. Oh, that's crazy.
He would be a good backup.
See?
I'm
a visionary.
Punk. Bryce Young was my first guy, but now he's absolutely nasty, which I told everybody that he was going to be before the season, and I didn't give up on him when he got benched. So that's clearly not going to happen because that guy's going to get paid by Carolina one day because he's that good. That's not going to happen. Daniel Jones, would love to have him.
I saw it. I saw the vision. I sat here when he took the Giants to the playoffs and won a playoff game. I sat here and said, he's a backup quarterback and he needs to take a backup job, because I was right. And you know what? That's why people hate me, because that's I'm always right.
That's why you put $100 on Russell Wilson to win MVP when he's like not even remotely close in the conversation, just because it's plus 50,000.
But you know who I did put money on Sunday? Those Panthers. And they brought because me right back. Because I told you to. Because they brought me right back.
They've covered 3 weeks in a row now. Might be more. I bet them the 2 weeks before. You saw them covering. You asked, you know, am I really going to pick them? I said, the Panthers are the tank gods right now because they look good every week.
Yeah, and they're losing. They are. They. I wish my Cowboys knew how to tank this way. But points bet, my favorite segment, Pac's favorite segment, everybody's favorite segment, because you get to tail the two greatest bettors in Canada, in North America.
And one of them has a losing record this
season. Yeah. But doesn't matter, because my all-time record, I'm way up. Because I can just change the numbers and I can make you believe that I'm way up.
Well, you can't lie. You can't lie to the audience. What are we doing over here?
But you know what? It's okay. We're bouncing back. I got my Bengals tonight against my Cowboys. But they're going to cover and I'll be one game back of 500. Coming back against Pox, just voodoo magic that whatever he puts on
magic.
These, he puts
I got
these,
robbed.
He keeps handing me these first overall picks, and he's giving me the kiss of death by doing it. So I'm giving it to you this week, Pox. You take the first overall pick.
I will happily take the first overall pick. I want to put it out there. I was 1-1 last week. I'm 14-8 on the season. I lost by half a point, the Dolphins versus the Jets. If they had kicked the extra point in overtime, which teams don't do, that would have covered. I also think they were 5.5 at one point. I got them at 6.5. So technically it's a loss, but if you listen to me on like Thursday or Friday and you bet the Dolphins, then you were 2-0 with my picks. So 14-8, it's kind of 15-7, whatever. This is a tough week. A lot of teams, a lot of the good teams play each other. There's a lot of good matchups. I'm going to head over to Sunday Night Football though. The Green Bay Packers are going into Seattle. The Green Bay Packers are 3-point favorites. I'm going to roll with the Packers. I just think the Seahawks, for whatever reason, I can't get a grip on this team. Are they good? I don't know. When I think they're good, they start to lose. When I think they're bad, they start to win. They've won 4 in a row. They haven't lost since their bye week. They're kind of on a heater right now. They're in pole position to win the NFC West. I think they're going to lose. I think they're going to lose by more than 3 points. It's a big spot. There's a lot of spotlights on Geno. And I'm going to go with the Packers. I think Jordan Love and this team, they got extra rest. They were so good in that Lions game. They came up, they really just lost because Dan Campbell's a psychopath and said, I'm not giving you the ball back. So I'm going to take the Packers -3 Sunday Night Football in Seattle.
Speaking of three, I mean, everyone likes that number or why this -3, +3. I'll tell you this. I'm picking a team that might win by 30.
Oh boy.
Never mind three.
This I know.
Give me the Ravens -14 on the road against the lowlife, the just soulless New York Giants. Lamar Jackson bounce back off a bye. Watch out, New York, because you're about to get steamrolled. -14, lock it in. I think this is the most free line. And people are going to shy away from it because it's a big number. It's free. It's literally couldn't have been more free. This line's going to be like 16, 17 by the time Sunday comes around. So get on it early. It's 14 right now. Hammer it while you can.
So I'm going to say two things. One, the big spreads lately have actually been pretty good. We've had good success with them on the show. Two, the reason I know this isn't going to happen is because I'm going to tell a little story. This week, Cat had a pretty impressive parlay, Rams money line, Jags money line. The last leg was Giants money line, and he was complaining to me, you know, the Giants, they killed his parlay and all this. And I just looked at him. I said, dude, don't bet on the Giants. Like, what are you doing? Betting on probably the worst, the two worst organizations in professional sports right now are the Jets and the Giants. So now, because you're betting against them, you also had told me the reason you took them was you looked at their schedule. The Saints were really the only easy game left, and you said they're going to win at least one more game. This is the game that they win. The Ravens. Just because you're picking against them now. And it just, everyone's minds explode, and we're thinking, like, how are the Ravens losing to the Giants? It messes up the AFC playoff race.
they're now looking, I think they'd be 8-6, which is kind of uncomfortable considering how good the team's been this year. I'm not willing to like put my reputation on that take, but I just think it'd be really funny. Anyways, my last take of the week, we are going to head over to, man, I got two written down. So I don't like having first pick. You know what? I'm going to take the Dolphins +2.5 versus the Texans. The win against a good team is going to happen eventually, and it's going to happen indoors in Houston, a team that's really not that impressive. I think they're going to win and keep their playoff hopes alive, and then they probably lose to a bad team down the stretch because that's just the Miami way. So Dolphins +2.5 versus the Texans. Two in this offense are just outscoring Houston and their offense lately, so I'm going to take Dolphins.
Yeah, you know, I'm also going to go with another plus money type of bet here, and I'm going to take a road team again, and I'm going to take a road divisional team, a primetime road divisional team. Everything that you should not bet on, I'm going to bet on. Give me the Rams +2.5. They're making the playoffs. Sorry, 49ers, it ain't your year. Give me those Rams +2.5. I might as well take a money line, but because I like points, and I'll take points for the sake of the show just so I can catch Pac's record, give me the Rams +2.5 on Thursday night.
Thursday night football is literally off of my list. I bet on Thursday night football once this year on this show, and it was Jets Texans, and the Texans lost to the 3-10 Jets. So good luck with that. These are our picks of the week, brought to you by our friends over at PointsBet, the official betting partner of the CTB show. If you're the ultimate competitor, you know the value of a home field advantage, and at PointsBet, that advantage is yours with top-notch customer support and easy deposits. Come make your picks with us. We got our parlays every single Monday night on the PointsBet app, and we've got Cats Locks on the app as well every single week. So make sure to download that PointsBet app, 18 or 19 years or older, and please play responsibly. All right, we're moving along now to our game of the week, and this just might be the game of the season. Lions, Bills, the team everyone's calling the best team in the NFC, a team that everyone has called the best team in the AFC for much of the season. Josh Allen, MVP favorite. Dan Campbell could be the coach of the year. Jared Goff has had such a great year. There's so much talent on both sides of the ball. Who is winning this crucial, crucial matchup? Because if the Lions lose, I mean, the Eagles are right there for that one seed. If the Bills lose, they kiss the one seed goodbye completely. Who you got winning this one?
That's why I'm taking the Bills, because I think the Bills, this game means a little bit more. The Lions won the game that people expected maybe was their slip-up game. Because this is not a conference game, I just feel like the Lions, not necessarily, obviously, who wants to lose a football game? Nobody wants to lose a football game. But at the end of the day, if the Lions slip up against an AFC opponent, it doesn't necessarily factor too much. They still have the upper hand on the Eagles. But the Bills, they need this game, right? They just lost last week. I get it. It's back-to-back NFC opponents, but they need it more than the Lions need this one. Give me Josh Allen. Give me the MVP, the Buffalo Bills, to upset the red hot. And who knows, Pac, this might be a Super Bowl preview. We might see these two teams playing each other in February.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the way, like, it's at this point, like, are the Lions ever going to lose again? They lost week two to the Buccaneers. It was September, the last time the Lions lost a football game. They have just been so, so good. I think I'm going to take the Lions. I just don't have it in me to pick the Buffalo Bills on this show. And I feel like if the Bills lose two in a row, everyone would kind of freak out. But also, it's kind of like, get your losses out of the way now. And then, you know, the last three games, get on a heater, get hot at the right time. I think Josh Allen's going to continue to play well into the playoffs. But yeah, this game of the week, sponsored by our friends over at TickPick, the number one place to get tickets, the ultimate destination. Zero hidden fees is the best part about TickPick. The price you see on the website is the price you pay, and you can use code CTB20 at checkout to get a nice little discount there. TickPick, the official ticket partner of the CTB show. Make sure to go ahead and check them out. There it is, wrapping up another episode of the CTB show. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for listening. The sport's been great recently, guys. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram at the CTB show, and of course at Catch the Blitz if you aren't following already. And we will see you next week.
See you guys.